and this is Coast Community Radio, KMUN Astoria 91.9, KTCB Tillamook 89.5, and coastradio.org, wherever you are in the world, especially anywhere with water. Oh, Nova Scotia, perhaps, especially Boudelaire's Point. We're sending out good wishes to everyone and healing wishes to all who need it. That one goes to Texas and wherever you are. But we'd like to see you here in Clatsop County. There is so much going on here, you won't believe it. There are three festivals and tons of music as well. Last week you heard about the yoga festival, and you've been hearing about the, that's in Cannon Beach, you've been hearing about the Seaside Jazz Festival, and today we're going to hear a lot about, of course, the Fisher Poets Gathering. Thanks for being here, folks. And one of the many things that's going on that sounds terrific to me, and I wish I could be everywhere, is Grupo Condor. They're in Klatskanai tonight at 7:30 at the Birkenfeld Theater. Have a listen and stay tuned. That's one of their more relaxed songs. They get pretty wild. Grupo Condor. And again, they'll be at the Birkenfeld Theater, which is at 75 Nehalem Street in Klatskanai. So you got Birkenfeld, Nehalem, and it's all right there in Klatskanai. And that is happening tonight at 7:30. Well, if you happen to be in Astoria, or you make your way to Astoria, you can just about go to any part of town and you will catch some fabulous performances. But the and the Gear Shack is already open right there on Commercial Street. But the opening event is actually my first guest. Hi, George.
Hi, Kyle.
George Wilson is here with me. And actually, if you live here, you might have already seen George's new work. You've had, how many shows have you had here in Astoria?
This is actually the third one. I had one at the AVA Gallery in 2009, I think.
Oh, wow. That just long ago?
Yeah, yeah.
You've been around for a while.
Seems like it.
Well, what we're talking about is the exhibit that is at Imogen Gallery on the corner of 11th and Marine Drive in Astoria, which is where a lot of the action is taking place this weekend. And the show is Euganic, or Euganic. You say it. How do they pronounce it there?
Up there, the Euganic.
Euganic.
That's maybe with a Scottish inflection.
Yeah, there Euganic. We go. Well, now that you mention Scottish, who are you? Because there are a lot of people in the audience who don't know you.
I'm George Wilson. I'm a artist and a commercial fisherman too. I used to be a commercial fisherman in Scotland I used to drag, as they say here, in the family business for 22 years. I did that in Scotland.
What part of Scotland?
In the northeast, I lived in a wee fishing village called Port Nockey.
And you come from a family of fishermen?
I come from a family of fishermen which goes way back just in that little area, like within 10 miles. My family hasn't moved in 300-400 years or something.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
Wow. Some of your family is still there now.
Oh, yeah. All of my family are there in the village. And it's actually my nephew who's running the family boat, the Deeside, a 75-foot trawler, steel boat. He's running it. My brother is kind of taking a back seat. He's stepping ashore.
Mm-hmm.
And my dad used to, run the boat before that. He had a different boat. He'd had a few boats, yeah.
So how does this work? If it's in your family, is the whole village, is it a village of fishers? Or
it used to be.
Mm-hmm.
Even like 30 years ago, it used to be almost completely. But the oil industry has been in the northeast of Scotland, in Scotland since 1970.
I see.
And people started to go to that. And then as the fishing industry, things got hard with quotas and things and decommissioning of boats and stuff, and people left in huge numbers. So there are a few fishermen left, but it's not as it used to be.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And when they left, did they go somewhere else to fish, or did they do what you did, which was travel 6,000 miles?
No, they
and paint.
A lot of them just left to go to the oil industry, and they stayed in the village, but they traveled to work.
Mm-hmm.
Like guys in the village now travel to work in the Gulf of Mexico and Australia, Brazil and Russia. Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry to hear that.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm glad to hear they're traveling, but not for that reason. That's my personal opinion, of course. So how did you manage to totally break the mold? And when did art enter your life? Were you doing that all along?
All my life I painted. I just always painted. Yeah, I just can't remember not doing that. And I went to art school to study fine art in Gray School of Art in Aberdeen when I left high school and got my degree. And then I wanted to be an artist, but I at that age I didn't have anything inside. You know, you paint, but there's nothing really there.
Mm-hmm.
You're painting about, you have no life experience, or even though life experience doesn't really show in landscapes, it's kind of, it has to be there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So what did you do? You went back home?
I went
fishing.
I went in the family business, aye.
So where did the, at what point, how do you make the transition? What made you feel that you were ready to, you had the life experience, or you were ready to get serious about your painting?
Well, it wasn't like that. It was that I met Mo Boustern.
Oh, the force. Okay.
And she completely changed my life.
She's done that to a few people. Now, how did you meet Mo? She lives here in Portland, Oregon, and you were
still
in Scotland.
Well, she had a gallery show. She had an art show in Peacock Visual Arts in Aberdeen, Scotland.
Oh, my goodness. Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
September 2008, and I had been involved in that gallery. It was they were doing a series of shows on the commercial fishing industry.
Wow.
And the curator said to me, why don't you come and meet this Alaskan fisherwoman, she said.
Right.
And I said, okay. And my schedule, I was ashore and I came to the show. Yeah.
And you had no idea.
I had no idea.
What was ahead of you.
No.
Isn't that interesting, though, because both of you are involved in fishing and the arts.
Yeah. Yeah, so. We had a tremendous connection with those two things.
Clearly, because how many years ago was that?
It was September 2008.
Okay.
And so,
yeah.
And eight and a half years, yes.
And you've been living here?
Well, I moved here permanently in 2012.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But, yeah.
So where do you live now? Portland?
Portland, yeah.
Okay. So tell us, this show, which is just beautiful, is small watercolors.
It's small watercolors. Really, they're pages from my sketchbook. I fished in Ugunic Bay last summer at a set-net site in the bay with Wendy and Harvey Beck Goodell, mm-hmm. their set-net site. It's called Eider Narrows as a set-net site. Village Islands in Ugunic Bay. I went up there. And it's such a beautiful place. It's so beautiful. Yeah, it's like the west coast of Scotland.
That's what I was wondering.
But on steroids.
Oh, nice.
It's just...
Why? Because why is
the
it...
The scale is so much bigger.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Color. What about colors?
It's like...
Landscape,
it's the same. My little bio says in the show, the latitude of Kodiak and Pernocchi, the village I come from, is almost exactly the same.
Wow.
So
nice.
I went up there to the light and the weather that I had lived with for so long. Yeah.
Right. And you'd not been there before.
I had visited, with Mo.
Okay.
She fished Kodiak for over 20 years in various fisheries. And she had friends up there and she was up doing a Fisher Poets. Mm-hmm. They have a wee Fisher Poets up there. So I had visited two or three times, but just visiting.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I love the connections here because you just brought it right back to Fisher Poets, which is why you're here this weekend. Although your show opened on...
The 11th, yeah.
Yeah, which is second Saturday when the galleries open here in Astoria. But today is the reception from 4 to 6 or 7?
4 till 6, yeah.
Till 6, okay. And again, that's at the corner of Marine Drive on 11th Street. And it's... you can just drop in at any point there. And that the good part is, will you be there during the show?
I will be there for the 2 hours.
Okay, good.
Tonight, yeah.
That's the best reason to go tonight. If you don't get there tonight, you can go and see the show. You will be very happy. Terry was telling me, Terry Sund, whose gallery runs the Imogen Gallery, was saying how wonderful it is to live with your paintings. She's been doing for the last few weeks.
Yeah, that's so nice to hear, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it's very. So, Mo was has been part of Fisher Poets Gathering since the beginning, and that's how you came. And what do you think about this festival?
It's fabulous. I mean, I come from a fishing community, but we don't have. There's nothing like this. This is an artistic thing to bring. It's a difference. I don't know anybody in the Scottish fishing industry who, I mean, paints or makes music or whatever. I'm sure there are people, but this is so mm-hmm. beautiful. The first time I came, I was amazed. But the more you come, and you make friends, and you see that it's such a beautiful thing.
Yeah,
yeah.
Well, it's interesting what you say, though. That you don't know of anybody who does these things. Well, a lot of the people who are here and who will be performing, whether it's poetry or prose or song or just acting up like our cowboy poet, and God knows what he's going to do tonight with his lariat made out of a crab line. A lot of them never occurred to them to write. Some of them were musicians, but a lot of them had nothing to do with the arts. This festival, of course, started with 40 people, and like you... Somebody said, oh, come. My next guests also, there's a new person who's not part of it this year, but I bet she will be next year. So,
yeah, it's infectious.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it really gets you thinking, you know, deeply and,
And now that you are really part of this, when you come back, I know for me this is true, it's a family. So once a year, all these folks come from all over the country, mostly the West Coast, from south to north, but all over. And it's beautiful to see the
it's
combinations.
Yeah. It's I've made so many friends, and it's just wonderful. Yeah.
So what do you do with your paintings now? You're painting, were you painting on the boat, or were you doing sketches?
No, we were set netting, so we lived on shore.
Uh-huh.
And then we went out in the skiff to pick the nets four times a day. But I did the paintings in the tent, like after work or enclosure days, and it was amazing how much I could get done without the effects of internet and cell phone. You know, no cell phone, no internet.
Right,
it's,
right.
You can really concentrate on things.
Right, yeah. Right. The focus, yeah.
Yeah.
And when you're not, obviously you have the show. Have you done shows in other places too, like Portland or?
I've done a few smaller shows in Portland. I haven't done a gallery show in Portland yet.
Mm-hmm.
So,
So the Fisher Poets is kind of.
It's an introduction, yeah. It's been really good to me, yeah.
Right,
yeah.
Right. Well, we here at Coast Community Radio are, of course, thrilled to be part of Fisher Poets and have been since the beginning. And we will be broadcasting the performances from 6 to 10 tonight and tomorrow night from the Astoria Events Center. But we cannot broadcast George Wilson's paintings. That hasn't happened yet. We sometimes hold stuff up to the microphones, you know, so people can look deeply into their radios. But probably the best thing is to go over to Imogen Gallery and have a look at the paintings. And are they all from this this summer's trip?
All, yeah. It's my impression, you know, of Ugunic Bay. Yeah. It's, yeah.
And I'm just wondering, because you said it was so much like home. Did you feel any kind of carryover from there, or?
Yeah, it was like home, but it's like the west of Scotland, and the east coast of Scotland is a different landscape.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And that's your home is on the east.
At one point, I felt when we travelled right out to the mouth of the bay, just on the Shelikov Strait.
Mm-hmm.
It was barer and obviously more windswept, and that felt like home, like more the landscape that I was used to, because it's quite lush up the bay, green and lush, which is really surprising, you know.
Well, the paintings are, they definitely carry one, and they're small, and yet you can feel the largeness of the landscape. So thank you so much, George, for bringing your art, being part of Fisher Poets, and thanks to Mo for bringing George into this part of our world.
What I think when I drive,
and here's a little bit of Mo in the background.
Around. I think of you. I want to get you in a skiff. I want to drive fast across the channel. And then as we slip between the brake walls, pull back hard on the throttle so you slump forward with the momentum. So the skiff rocks onto the bosom of its own wake with a rush of water. And you will know right then again how it feels when I get my arms around you. I want to get you in a skiff. I want to get you in a skiff. I want to drive wide open with my grin big, spit flying from the corners of my mouth in spite of myself, because I just can't stop smiling when I'm driving a skiff, when I'm unzipping the water with my prop and the white horses pull away to port and to starboard, and it's us in front of them all. I want to get you in a skiff. Yeah, I want to drive you circle round the channel bell and rock it to ringing. Then cut the motor so you can hear in the clang of the lonely tones what my pulse sounds like in my own ears. And someday, some, you'll wake up from sleeping under my wing, and the channel bell will be ringing in your ears, lost and away like a seagull's cry. My breathing will sound like the waves that sigh, yes, no, please, and thank you, as they tiptoe round the base of the bell, that last sad sound on the way out of town. I want to get you in a skiff. Yeah, and I want to drive you down to where the big ship from Panama sticks her ass so high out of the water that she's practically indecent, because she's a lady, you know. I want to scoot you between the bow and the anchor chain and all along the 300, 400, 500 feet of the ship. And didn't she park a time or two at the bottom of Mississippi Hill? Oh, yes. Panama is where she's from. I would like to go one day to Panama, you say, because you are a revolutionary. Me, I don't say nothing. Just give her a little more juice and write my name in the wake. The man on the stern of the ship, he is from Panama. He pauses in his labors to read my name upon the water, and he wishes he was you, and I will never need to go to Panama. I want to get you in a skiff. Yeah, and I want to burn that diesel, wrap you in exhaust fumes, the plumage of your youth, slide on the aluminum because of the oil dripped on it, and the transmission fluid, and the hydraulic oil, and the hydraulic fluid, and the antifreeze, and the zincs welded to the hull, oh yes, and trade you toxins, kiss for kiss, you Bremerton boy. I'm going to get you in a skiff. Mary Garvey lives in Long Beach, Washington, on the lower Columbia River.
Well, Mary Garvey does live there, but Mary Garvey was on the radio this morning. She was fabulous. And by the way, if you want to hear a great radio show, check out Radio Free America. Find KMUN, Albert Smith, February 24th, and listen in. He had four performers on his show this morning. That made five performers altogether, and they had a blast, and you can hear it only for 2 weeks, though, so do catch that show. Now, I have some folks in the studio right here. You can hear one of them, and I understand she is not a Fisher. No, but she is a banjo player. It's almost the same, isn't it? Does that, you know, kind of qualify? Okay. Let's get your mic a little bit down. Okay, good. So my guest, I had one guest, and now I've got three, and that's the way Fisher Poets goes. And my first guest, who was the original invitee, is Mariah Warren. Hi, Mariah.
Hi.
I'm delighted to have you here.
Well, I'm delighted to be here. Thank you.
And you brought a couple of friends.
That's right.
So we have, let me see if I've got this, did I write it? Oh, you wrote it down for me? Here it is. Eleanor Beneke on the banjo, and Megan Emerson, who is in the water. I'm not exactly sure what she does, but she's going to tell us. But she is not performing this year. She's the one I alluded to. This is her first Fisher Poets, and you know how it is around here. Right, Mariah?
That's right.
You come in, maybe you join the poetry slam, or maybe you just hang out and watch everybody, and by the next year you've scribed a whole bunch of stuff. So you come from where?
I came down from Ketchikan. I've been based out of Sitka for a long time. I spend summers in Cordova on a salmon tender. And my newest home port is Ketchikan, where I'm an instructor at the University of Alaska Southeast teaching maritime classes.
Oh, wow. What does that mean, maritime classes? What do you...
Well, a large part of our curriculum is the Coast Guard approved, come and get your captain's license, get your fast rescue boat credential, all those things. Wow. We also work with AMSEA, the Alaska Marine Safety Education Association, teaching fishermen how to conduct drills on their boats, how to handle a fire, how to handle sinking. So really anything to do with marine safety. I think my official title is Assistant Professor of Maritime in Health, Safety, and Security.
This is very interesting. I don't know whether you're aware that every morning, Monday through Friday, we have a show called The Ship Report.
Oh.
Our manager, actually, Joanne Wright, puts it on. It's 10 minutes, and it tells what ships are coming and going in the Columbia River, and then talks about cargoes and all this kind of stuff. And then she has an essay part, which includes a lot of stuff talking to captains, to fisher people, to others, and a lot of it's about safety, whether it's about shifting cargoes or, you know,
wonderful
people accidentally landing in the water or whatever it is. So experiences perhaps you've had, Megan is kind of chuckling over there. I'm thinking, yes. Uh-oh. So will you be going back to fishing, or are you going to?
I will. One of the nice things about the college schedule is I have summers off. So I spent a lot of time in different fisheries, and then these last 2 years on the salmon tender up out of Cordova, slightly different aspect of the fisheries, taking care of the fleet, bringing the fish back to the canneries. So having summers off is a tremendous advantage of this position.
So what was your education that you end up doing all this grunt work as well as being an assistant professor and talking to people who are probably three times your age and size?
Well,
or maybe you just look younger than you are. I'm not sure. So
I got my Bachelor of Liberal Arts in Human Communication some years ago now, and minor in Creative Writing. So did the college thing, started fishing during college, fell in love with it. So when I finished college, found it as an opportunity to add more fisheries and start going on trips on big ships in different parts of the world, taking sailing boats between continents and whatnot. Started racking up that sea time on big oceans and big boats. Spent some time with the Alaska Marine Highway, so licenses and credentials and a communications degree. I talked him into hiring me, so, you know,
that's right.
Whatever you can talk your way into, right?
You learned about communication, so you communicate to them that they needed to hire you. So where did you grow up again?
I grew up in Edna Bay, Alaska, which is a little town of about 65 people, halfway between Sitka and Ketchikan in the Alexander Archipelago of Southeast Alaska.
Okay, so you have been on the water
my whole life.
Okay.
Yeah. We lived on a...
wonder how you got into fishing.
I grew up on a sailboat. Grew up in a fishing town. My family wasn't in the fisheries. I guess I'm the first since my great-grandfather, who actually fished on the halibut schooners out of Petersburg in the 1920s, I think.
Wow, nice.
So I'm the first since him. But.
Nice. And none of the boys in your family followed suit?
No, not so far.
Interesting. Interesting. A lot of people in the listening audience, not those who live in Astoria, who know this is Fisher Poets Gathering.
Mm-hmm.
Not fishermen's, not fisherwomen's, fisher poets. But a lot of other people immediately think of fishermen and assume that most of the people out on the water are fishermen and that they don't even think about the idea. So it's good to hear your story. Now, where did you and Megan meet? Either one of you can tell me this story.
I'll let Megan.
Okay,
this
Megan.
One maybe.
Sure. We met in high school. We went to a boarding high school. We were both homeschooled as children. I also on my own little island in the middle of nowhere.
Wait. Where did you grow up?
So I grew up outside of Juneau on an island
similarly to
Mariah.
And we
met up in high school, which was a boarding school. And we've known each other since. I also got a degree in communication. So we followed sort of similar trajectories in
life. Okay, yeah. And then what happened with you?
Okay, so I was raised by commercial salmon fishermen.
Aha.
It was a family business, and I did it for a few years until my father retired. And then I realized that I just got really seasick. Far too much to consider a career on the ocean. It was
I can relate to
the
that.
Most fun I've ever had and the most miserable I have ever been in combination.
Yes, I had that experience in Homer, Alaska, actually. I wanted to die.
Yeah, exactly.
So
when you seriously consider just throwing yourself overboard, because at least the bottom of the sea doesn't go up and down.
Exactly. Yeah, I am. So you got out of that.
So I did. So I used the opportunity of my father retiring to try out the white-collar world for a little while. And then I found myself staring longingly at the nearest body of water, which was the Columbia River, saying, oh, there's boats out there. I wonder how you get on those boats.
Oops, she forgot about them. Right. So what are you doing now?
So now I work in the one place that I could find that doesn't go up and down, that is also on the water, which is the Columbia River. I work as a deckhand on the tugboats.
Where?
Tidewater barge lines.
I mean,
on the Columbia and Snake Rivers.
Which part of the Columbia?
Everywhere from Astoria up
all
the way to, all the way into Idaho.
Okay, so you're almost local these days.
I live in Portland now, so.
Okay, great. And then Eleanor is happily playing us tunes, and you're from Portland also. She's not speaking. She's speaking through her music, and that's wonderful. So Mariah, you're going to be reading.
Yes.
Where and when, do you know?
Oh, goodness, put me on the spot. I am the MC this evening at the Fort, one of the two, with wonderful Mo Baustern, this evening at the Fort George.
So yes. Do you know George, who just left? That's Mo Baustern's husband.
I did not know that. Sorry, just have to yell into the microphone.
That's so funny. That's why I just had Mo on the, I had one of her poems just now.
Yes, I didn't realize the connection.
Boy. Oh, boy. Where are you going to be? At the Fort George?
I'll be at the Fort George this evening, emceeing, and then performance, I think at 7, sounds right. And then tomorrow night at the Astoria Center. I think I'm
Astoria
in the
Event Center.
9 o'clock.
Uh-huh. Okay.
In the 9 o'clock block.
Well, the Astoria Event Center is where we are broadcasting from.
Yeah.
So you will be going out all over the world, as you are right now, I must say. Did you bring a short poem?
I did.
We would love to hear it.
Thank you. I just wrote this, in the last week. So I've been now, I have this new winter job. As I like to describe, ardently professing the good word of please don't die at sea. So I wrote a little poem about that. Please don't die at sea, my friends. Life always ends, but it doesn't have to yet. There must be better reasons than for just one more set. Consider factors such as wind speed, duration, and fetch. Consider if you die today, how many fish you'll never have the chance to catch. Please don't die at sea, my dears. Tell the story instead someday over burgers and beers. About that time the storm called your name and you chickened out. The kids are listening. Those are the times they need to hear about. Remember your heroes, those unbending, bright-eyed women and Poseidon-bearded men? I know we all do. Please survive, so someday you can be a grouchy, salt-encrusted, wise, and inspiring old-timer, too. Please don't die at sea, my loves. When rigging screams and the breakers roar, and you know it should be the last set, and someone suggests just one more. Think of your loved ones. Think of me. Please don't die at sea.
Wow. Yeah, I'm getting a little bit choked up there because, there was a lot of fun rhymes there, but boy, that's such a serious piece. And that is so... That's one of the things that happens this weekend. We hear some incredibly poignant stories because everybody here knows at least someone, if not a lot of people. Yeah. Have you also had that experience in your life?
I've had the experience of losing a lot of people to the ocean, and I've had the experience of being on a fishing boat that sank in December.
This past?
December of 2012.
Okay.
Yeah, and being the one they were looking for.
And found,
fortunately, by a Good Samaritan vessel.
Best Christmas present I ever had.
Wow. Love you too.
Wow. Yeah. So that's some of what you will hear. The poetry ranges from poignant and deep and personal. And all of it actually is personal, but some of it is hilarious at the same time. And yet, you know, it's that kind of thing where you find yourself laughing and crying at the same time. So thank you for that, Mariah. That was beautiful. My guest, Mariah Warren, who will be emceeing tonight with Mo Baustern. What a kick that's going to be at the Fort George Lovell Room. That's on the corner of 15th and Duane, and right a block away from the station. 14th and Duane, sorry, literally a block away from the station. Remember, you need to get your buttons, but you can get them anywhere. But the Gear Shack is a good place to go because there's also an auction going on there, a silent auction. There's some fabulous art and stuff and jewelry and the new T-shirts. Some are in and some are coming. And Megan, what do you think? Well, we'll give you the weekend to consider this, but...
I will consider it in my next year of being on a tugboat. Maybe I will come around to this idea.
Mariah, when do you find you usually do your writing?
You know, that's a good question, and fitting it into the interstices of a very busy life is always interesting. It strikes me at different times, mm-hmm. I'd say, and mm-hmm. sometimes out on the water, there are bits of writing that I fit into times here and there, and other times I kind of gather up those feelings and thoughts and experiences, and it's when I'm actually on shore with a bit of quiet time. Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. it's a big question in my life right now is when to find the time for the writing.
Yeah. Do you jot things down for yourself or just kind of keep it in your
Both.
Head and heart?
I try to take notes. Like in class, I try to take notes.
Had you Had you been writing before, though? Have you been written all your life?
Yeah. Ever since I could pick up a pen or pencil or crayon, I think.
I'm thinking with two human communicators here in the room and one musical communicator, we have quite the experience. So thank you so much for coming to Astoria. Now, Megan, now I know the truth about you. You're here all the time. Well, or you could be anyway. So
just passing through.
Do come back and join us. And thank you, Eleanor Beneke, for the music, the underlay of music. And Mariah Warren, our Fisher Poet for this year. And folks, you can go to fisherpoets.org. Or you can also find the centerfold of the Coast Weekend has a pullout section for the gathering. And remember, Coast Community Radio right here on 91.9 or coastradio.org will be broadcasting from 6 to 10 tonight and tomorrow night. And tomorrow night you will hear Mariah. So that'll be fun. Great. Thanks so much for coming.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you. Wonderful to be here.
And thank you for that beautiful poem. And I've got some music from two of the folks who, the folks who got this thing going. John Broderick is one of the originators, and he and Jay Speakman are movers and shakers. Let's hear a piece of music from them and carry on right here. KMUN Astoria, KTCB Tillamook, and wherever you are. And don't forget about the fabulous Jazz Festival coming up this weekend. Actually, it started last night with a sold-out pre-show, which is a great concept.
Long years have come and gone, still I can't forget the sparkle in your dark brown eyes on the day that we first met. My best friend had won your hand, you were his bride-to-be, while I was seeking fortune out on the salty sea. I fished the Western Ocean, worked with the hook and line, while you were tending babies I thought of you from time to time. The wind was my companion, blue water was my home, the kittiwake was my true friend wherever I did roam. My vessel's in the harbor as the winter rages on. And one fine day in April, You'll turn and I'll be gone. When I came home late last night, you were standing at my door, trying to convince me you don't love him anymore. Grass is always greener, that's what the wise men say. Consider this, Katrina, before you throw it all away. Now spring's around the corner, I'll soon be moving on. One fine day in April, you'll turn and I'll be gone.
You'll turn and I'll be gone. That is from A Good Trip After All, with Jay Speakman and John Broderick, and you can see them all over the place at Fisher Poets Gathering. This is my last segment for Fisher Poets Gathering, and I still have one more to go. And I have the honor of introducing my good friend and someone that most of us in this area are very grateful to, for the organization that Brett Vandenhoevel directs, which is the Columbia River Keeper. Most people around here know about Columbia River Keeper. Other folks might not, but they may be aware that River Keeper is a national organization, right?
Yeah, yeah. So Columbia River Keeper is part of, there's about 200 different keeper groups around the world now. There's been,
wow.
So from San Francisco Bay Keeper to Hudson River Keeper were a couple of the early ones, but now there's a lot of growth in Central America and Africa and Asia. I'm actually going in March to Nepal.
Really?
To train some new waterkeeper groups in the Himalayas that are working on trying to fight dams, new dams.
Wow.
Nepal.
Do they have their own waterkeeper group there? Or?
There's five of them that are forming. Yeah.
Wow, that's wonderful.
Yeah.
Oh, my heart just gets very excited.
Yeah, it's beautiful. And it's great to see you, Carol. Thank you for having me on KMUN, which is, I love coming down the hill on my journey to Astoria, and as soon as KMUN starts coming in on the radio. Unmistakable, you know, right when you've got it.
right. Well, we're thrilled to have you here. And the reason you're here this weekend, of course, you spent a lot of time here in the past because we were dealing with the local issue of liquefied natural gas. But now you're here for Fisher Poets Gathering. What is Columbia River Keeper offering this weekend?
Yeah, so we're really pleased to be part of Fisher Poets, and we're doing a panel workshop on Saturday morning at 11:30 at the Barbie Maritime Center with our friends from Save Our Wild Salmon. So we're going to be talking about some of the water quality issues on the Columbia and Snake Rivers and dams and toxics and some of the threats to the river and what we can do to protect it. So
and now this is part of Fisher Poets, so people do need their buttons, is that right?
Yeah,
okay.
It's part of Fisher Poets. We're in the program, so yeah it's really neat
this
to be.
This is not the first year, though.
We've done it for a few years now, and John Broderick and the other organizers are very gracious to.
Well, this is part of the family. We're all working together, you know, some are working the commercial fishermen. We all appreciate the different aspects of what's going on in Columbia River Keeper is a big part of that.
Yeah.
In this area, so.
And it's super important for us to, you know, as a group that has the honor of working to protect the Columbia River, you know, to be able to connect with the commercial fishing folks and learn about all the issues and all the challenges that people are facing. And it's just such I mean, not only artistically is it a great and inspiring thing, but it's a really, you know, it's a really beautiful event to be part of. So
yeah,
we're
there's
happy
a lot
to be
of
here.
There's a lot of heart.
Yeah. There's a lot of heart. Yeah. And then Saturday afternoon at 3:15 at the Columbian Theater, we're hosting a sing-along to try to, you know, there's a lot of there's a lot of angst and struggles in our country right now, and so we thought just having some time to enjoy some music and sing a little bit. So we'll talk a little bit about the Columbia River, but it'll mostly be some local musicians. We're really honored to have Joseph Stevenson and Jennifer Berg, Ned Heavenrich, and Dan Sutherland are going to be performing. Great. And wow. We hope folks will come. And it's just going to be an hour, and it'll be real informal, and come join.
Yeah, and I bet you're going to hear some songs with that crew there, especially Joseph, and has some historical stuff in there. So, and we're glad that Ned made it back from Costa Rica in time to join. Jennifer Berg has a gorgeous voice, and of course, Dan and Ned, part of the Browns Meat Flats. It's great.
Yeah.
More family expansion here. So yeah. Where is that happening?
That's at the Columbian Theater.
Columbian Theater. Okay, mm-hmm. That's right on 11th and Marine Drive, right across from Imogen Gallery, in that whole area near Wet Dog. And, mm-hmm. of course, there's so much going on all over town. So that is Saturday afternoon.
Mm-hmm.
What time is that again?
That's at 3:15 to 4:30.
3:15 to 4:30 is the sing-along. Mm-hmm. And tell me one more time. That's at the Columbia. And in the morning?
Time in the morning, 11:30, mm-hmm. at the Barbie Maritime Center, which is right adjacent to the Maritime Museum.
Yeah,
it's a beautiful train depot restored.
Right, and it's like on 22nd Street if you're trying to figure it, because the museum is on 17th, and then there's this long parking
lot.
So that's where it takes it. Okay, and then aren't you taking people on a hike or something? What's that
yeah,
about?
There's a hike Sunday morning at 9 for if
the hardy ones.
For those that want to get out, out to the Skipanon Peninsula. And so where the liquefied natural gas terminal was proposed, and this amazing community was able to protect the river from dangerous natural LNG. And so there's a hike out there to sort of celebrate and hike out to where it would have been, the big LNG terminal, and is now hopefully going to be restored or put to a better use. Mm. So we're meeting at the Premark Center in Warrenton. We'll have some coffee and pastries from the Blue Scorcher, and we're leaving at 9. It's just it's about a mile and a half out and back.
It's not a hard...
It's flat. It's a long...
It's an easy hike. Yeah. It's just a question of the weather. If it's raining... I did that in the pouring rain, and we still made it, but we wore... raincoats and boots, I think, was the order of the day. So what's in 2 minutes, can you tell us what Columbia River Keeper is up to right now in our area?
Yeah. Our main focus is protecting clean water. And there's two main things happening right now. One is we're working on some dam issues further upstream that affect the salmon. And mm-hmm. so we're trying to, bring back as many salmon as we can so that people can catch them and restore the salmon. So there's really important decisions about the operations of the dams and how to get more salmon back up over the dams and some of the spawning areas. So the water on the Columbia further upstream is too hot because the dams create these giant reservoirs and the mm-hmm. water gets too hot. Salmon like cool water as they head up to spawn in their natal stream. So we're trying to work on some of those very complicated issues, push our federal government to do more. Which is, it's challenging right now. We actually, not to be too litigious about this, but we filed a lawsuit just yesterday against the EPA Administrator Scott Pruitt, the first one since he's taken over at EPA to try to force them to take action to protect salmon.
Wow. Protect salmon. Here we are at the Fisher Poets Gathering. We're poetry going right, left, and center about protecting salmon. And here's Columbia River Keeper right on it. That's great. That's great. Boy, yeah. Well, you definitely belong here. I hope you're able to, I know you will, have a really good time. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
We will. Yeah, really happy to be here, and thank you. Thank you so much, Carol.
And you make connections while you're here, too, with some of these incredible people.
Yeah, there's so many fascinating, beautiful people, and being able to talk to the you know, the fishermen and women from Alaska and all up and down the West Coast and beyond. So it's an incredible
opportunity. And it's just, I mean, it was just an idea. Some people had made it happen, and now here we all are getting just drawn together to celebrate together and work hard together. So,
yeah.
Thank you, Brett Vandenhoevel from the Columbia River Keeper. And again, Saturday morning at 11:30 at the Barbie Maritime. There's workshops going on all Saturday. Again, get your button and get your schedule. And then on Saturday afternoon, there's a sing-along, which will be a blast, from 3:15 to 4:30 at the Columbian Theater on 11th and Marine Drive. And then Sunday, 9 a.m. at the Premark Center. And if you're here, then by then you can find out where the Premark Center is if you don't know right now. It's across the bridge over towards Warrenton. So thanks so much for coming in, Brett.
Yeah, my pleasure.
I'm looking forward. Okay. And my last guests are not Fisher poets. They're musicians from the high school and the middle school. So save some energy for them. And in the meantime, listen to the Uptown Lowdown Jazz Band, because they are happening in Seaside all weekend. Thanks for being here, folks. There you go, folks. If you are ready to kick up your heels, you can get yourself down to Seaside. And you can do all of this. You can Fisher poet, you can Seaside, and then if you need to, you can go to the yoga festival in Cannon Beach, or you can do Bollywood dancing down there. Forget the om. And My last guests here are from the Astoria Bands. Now, I've got three students from Astoria High School, I presume, yes? Okay.
Yep.
And one teacher. That would be the band director.
That's me.
And that's Jeremy Johnson. Hi, Jeremy.
Hello. Glad to be here.
Good. Now, how long have you been at the high school?
I've just been here since September.
Okay.
So this is my first year.
Right. Where did you come from?
I was in Monument Valley on the Navajo Indian Reservation in southeastern Utah.
Oh, my goodness. You've come a long way.
Yes, I have.
Well, I hope you'll decide to stay. The weather's a little different.
I love it here.
Good. Good. That's what we like to hear, especially those of us who have chosen this as our home. Now, my three students, I'm not sure they may be, what's it called? Native-born Astorians, NBAs.
Yeah.
As opposed to ABCs, which
yeah.
I'm
perfect.
An ABC. So I have Taylor Parker. Hi, Taylor.
Hello.
And what do you play, Taylor?
I play bass clarinet and bass guitar.
Uh-huh. So, in the same band?
No, I play bass clarinet and wind symphony, and I've been doing that for about 4 years. And then I play bass guitar in the marching band and in the jazz band.
I did not know there was guitar in the marching band.
Yeah.
Cool. Now, does the marching band actually march?
Yeah, well, there's this front pit ensemble that doesn't march. It's up in the front of the football field, and it's called the pit, and that's where I'm in.
I was going to say, it's kind of hard to, you know.
Yeah.
Look pretty funny, marching around with a guitar with a cord.
Yeah, right.
Kind of difficult.
Yeah.
That, especially the cord part. That's true. And that was the voice of Thane Covert. Hi, Thane.
Hello there.
And what do you play, Thane?
Oh, I play the trumpet. I've been playing it for, this is my sixth year now. Yeah.
Nice. So you're in the marching band.
Yes, I.
Is this all marching band stuff? Are you also in? Okay,
yep.
We'll get to you in a second then. Okay, so you've been playing for 6 years, so you started in middle school?
Yeah, I started playing in sixth grade at the middle school, and then I started doing marching band in eighth grade. To boost numbers, they grabbed numbers from the middle school, and they allowed
right.
eighth graders to join.
And I think Johnny did that too when
yeah.
he was in middle school. He jumped
yeah,
ahead. Yeah, yeah. So now, Isabel Talley,
yeah.
what's your instrument?
I play the tenor saxophone.
And do you walk and play at the same time?
Yes, I do.
She's okay. good at it too.
Wow.
Yes.
Yeah. How heavy is it?
Well, when it's inside the case, it's probably around, like, 15 pounds. But outside, it's, like, not that heavy. It's, like, 5 pounds, maybe.
Okay. Okay, so it's not hard to... And I'm just thinking, you know, we tell people don't chew gum and walk at the same time. Or we say some people can't chew gum and walk at the same time. But you guys are playing instruments and moving right along there.
The trick mm-hmm. is practice, a lot of it.
And
practice.
And that's a great thing about music and is... It works so many parts of your brain. So much of your brain is activated when you're playing, even just sitting and playing
mm-hmm.
in a symphony, wind symphony, or you know, an orchestra. There's so many things happening: breath, rhythm, notes, tuning, blend,
listening
all those
to everybody
listening.
Else
yep.
as well as your yeah.
A lot of multitasking.
Yeah. Oh, it's there's no that was beautiful because and obviously the three of you students also. Clearly believe in it because it does take a lot of time to practice, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Now, I understand that what happened was a few years back, the marching band was threatened with extinction. Is that right?
Yeah, well, there was a lot of leadership changes, and a lot of our seniors were graduating, and our numbers severely dropped. And we basically took a lot of effort from everyone who was still around to push the marching band forward and have it still survive with the help of our new band director, Jeremy Johnson, and the rest of the band boosters.
And the band boosters, tell us what is, in 25 words or less, what is the Astoria Band Boosters?
Band boosters, they're an organization that helps fund, basically make up the difference for what we don't raise ourselves. We're with the instrument costs and everything. They help fundraise for us so that kids can have the opportunity to play.
Are the instruments provided by the school, or do you have to pay for them yourselves?
It depends. It's both. There's some instruments provided by the school. They aren't normally the best quality, and students can buy their own instruments. For example, I started with a school-owned instrument, but pretty quickly, once I realized I wanted to continue doing this, I bought my own.
Sounds perfect. So you start, and if you like it, then it's worth investing in, but otherwise, forget about it.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Is that what happened to you, Isabel?
Yeah. At first, I started out, like, renting, and then... So I started in fifth grade, and then once my parents, like, saw that I made it all the way to ninth grade, and I wanted to keep playing all throughout my high school career, so I got my own saxophone.
Right, right. They saw that you were serious and willing to do the work.
Yep.
Why, well, let me just first tell everybody that Tuesday night, the 28th, that's this coming Tuesday night, is your opportunity, those of you listening in the audience, to come over to the Fort George and... upstairs and benefit, add your support to the Astoria Band Boosters. So as many of us here know, the last Tuesday of every month, Fort George dedicates to one of the nonprofits in town. And this month, it's the Band Boosters.
Woo-hoo.
Yes, yay! Exactly. So if you go over there, anything you eat or take out or spend is going to be going to the Band Boosters. So are you guys going to have any kind of a raffle, or are you going to do any entertainment there, or what?
Oh, yeah, we're raffling off some pretty cool stuff. One of the unique things we're raffling, we're raffling different packages. I'm raffling off, I'm a songwriter as well.
Oh.
And I'm raffling off the opportunity to write a custom song for somebody. So
that
for anybody.
That sounds fantastic.
It could be, yeah. For,
well, Jeremy, yeah. We're going to have to, that sure. is teacher Jeremy. We're going to have to get you back as a musician. Besides
love
being
to.
as the sensei, as the teacher. So here we have Taylor Parker, Thane Covert, Isabel Talley, and their band director, Jeremy Johnson. And am I right? You guys are all inviting everybody to come to the Fort George on Tuesday evening and help support what you love to do.
And yes. Additionally, the jazz band will be playing.
Oh, you will?
Yeah.
Ah, now there's your motivation. That's it, folks. Anything else you want to add? We're out of time. I'm afraid.
Thank you so much for having us.
Thank you, Carol.
I'm glad you're here. And folks, if you want to learn more about them, here's the trick. Go to coastradio.org, go to the podcast, and check out Talk of Our Towns, Toots. Wednesday morning, Donna did a great interview with Jeremy was there and some of the other students and other leaders of the Band Boosters. It's fantastic. Music is so important in our lives, as we all know. And we need as much creativity as possible these days. Thanks for coming in, kids. And keep the music going. Yes?
Yep. Yeah. Yes. Thank you.